100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom!
This is Dante Lee, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
Hello, Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and iTunes. This is Z, the SEO Queen.
And Ernesto Comodo from 907K.
We want to invite you to attend the webinar series, How to Thrive and Grow in 2021. This workshop series is going to be awesome.
And for just $100, you'll get marketing strategy, website, SEO, and social media.
This is a steal, a great value for business owners of all sizes and types, whether you're B2B or B2C.
Yes, this is a great value. You get a domain name, hosting, website, SEO, and social media marketing.
Yes, this is a great value.
Where can you sign up for this workshop?
It's online and easy to register for. Just go to howtothriveandgrow.eventbrite.com and you can sign up for all workshops or the ones that fit your schedule between now and February. Check it out now. Just go to howtothriveandgrow.eventbrite.com. We can't wait to see you there.
This is David Spradley. And you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
The SEO Queen, the SEO Queen, more credibility. The SEO Queen, more visibility. The SEO Queen, more profitability. The SEO Queen, 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 more credibility, more visibility, more profitability. The SEO Queen.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on a mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and download the free ebook, 101 Ways to Improve Your Marketing and Sales. So I am so thrilled that this week I have Dr. Donald White, who is known as the inventor of biodegradable plastic. I think that is just so cool. And before I, you know, start this conversation, I have to tell you guys that I got a little concerned, a little worried when I tested positive for coronavirus. And Dr. White broke down the chemistry of coronavirus to me, and I actually had on hand some additional supplements that was able to help me recover, and my oxygen levels are at 100%, and I'm so grateful. for the brilliance and graciousness of Dr. Donald White. How are you, Dr. Donald White?
I'm doing great. I'm well. Consider all things considering, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Great.
I'm glad to hear you're doing better now too.
Yeah, I'm doing so much better. I have all this energy now.
That's great.
I'm just super happy, super grateful, because you know, tomorrow's not promised, and so many people have had challenges dealing with coronavirus. So what do you want to talk about, Dr. White? What's on your mind?
There's a lot. Whew, that's a lot. That's a loaded question there. There's a lot on my mind. Speaking of coronavirus, I'm a little disappointed in how we've actually handled this whole pandemic from a policy side, and how these things have not been able to be implemented. There's no testing protocol. And you know, it's a little frustrating as a research scientist to sit back and watch how my counterparts, my colleagues, are working feverishly all around the world in the labs doing research. And, you know, our other scientific counterparts, our other scientific colleagues are in the medical field, and they're working feverishly. And, you know, it just doesn't seem like there's any continuity, and the help isn't really there for the healthcare workers, the frontline workers. I'm seeing the frustration. I'm hearing the frustration from the medical field. I'm starting to see some of the things that they're actually dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And they have been for months now, greater part of a year, crying out for help.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's really disheartening to see some of the things that they have been dealing with. And I think that the actual science could be communicated a little bit more effectively over to them, the ones who are on the front line, the doctor, the medical doctors, the surgeons, the nurses, you know, the respiratory therapists that are, you know, watching their patients die, watching their patients ill, and having to tell people that their family member, their loved ones didn't make it, and just dealing with that. That's got to be a huge, not only physical stress, but psychological stress as well. So my heart just goes out to them. And then at the same time, just looking at the frustration of the healthcare system right now. So it's, and the lack of response from, you know, from a policy standpoint, it's just,
right.
It's a little disheartening.
You know, if you go back in time and just see how, you know, 45 treated the whole pandemic, it kind of sets the tone for the chaos that is happening now. I hope that, you know, we're able to coordinate and have more synergy. But as you said, it's like, it's really, you know, where is that leadership going to come from? You know, one thing that I don't even understand is why there's such a stigma towards, you know, herbs and holistic methods of health treatment.
So I think one of the things, not to cut you off, I think one of the things that we're seeing medicine go into the direction of is like holistic health. So you're actually seeing what we call westernized medicine, or Western medicine, actually look at some of these more holistic approaches with herb treatments and stuff. But I think the science, the data is actually, the science of it all is actually backed on the foundation of data. And so what you're not seeing typically, stereotypically speaking, is you don't normally see, you know, the old school household remedy backed by any kind of fundamental scientific research, right? And so now you're actually starting to see these studies become more prevalent, and you're actually seeing, you know, medicine. Because at the end of the day, I think what the doctors who actually practice medicine, their overarching goal is quality of life and healing the patients. I don't think anyone has gone into medicine, you know, to not heal people or not help the people. So, you know, you have doctors who've devoted their entire lives literally to this. And so I think they want the best care for their patients. So you're actually starting to see the culture change a little bit, but they still want, you know, that pseudoscience, I guess, to be backed by some kind of fundamental data. So
right,
you're actually starting to see that more often.
So, you know, one of the things that has been talked about a lot in the news, besides, you know, hydrochloroquine, is vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. And can you share with me a little bit about the data, the studies that have been put out there about these vitamins and minerals with respect to coronavirus?
So I've seen a study about zinc. I haven't seen any about vitamin C, except for just what we pretty much already know. Vitamin C helps the immune system. Mm-hmm. But I have seen some with zinc, whereas they bind to similar or the same receptor, or it's like a competing thing where they're competing for the same receptor. But I think the most interesting study that I've seen has been vitamin D. Vitamin D is in dogs. So whereas pretty much the severity of COVID and the duration of symptoms was directly linked in a couple of different studies to the levels of vitamin D in the person. So if you had a person who was extremely vitamin D deficient, not only that were they more susceptible to becoming sick with COVID, but they experienced greater symptoms or more severe symptoms and for a longer duration of time. And wow. I thought that was really interesting because oftentimes.
Wow.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's huge.
Yeah. So we're starting to see these studies come out. I think it's pretty big, especially considering the African-American community, whereas most of us, because of the melanin in our skin, are vitamin D deficient, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas UV light actually converts cholesterol into vitamin D through the vitamin D pathway. So there is a radical reaction that happens with UVB radiation, so light from the sun, and it converts cholesterol into vitamin D. And so, you know, people with more melanated skin.
So you can lower your cholesterol by standing out in the sun. Is that what you're telling me, Dr. White?
in some ways, yeah. So what we're seeing, it's two types, LDL and LDL and HDL. And if I'm LDL. Not mistaken, correct. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the LDL. I'll have to fact check me on that. But I think it's the LDL cholesterol that's actually being converted into vitamin D.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so that's actually going to be a topic in one of my biochem courses that I teach to my students this semester.
Really? So yeah, that's the next question I have for you. What are you teaching? Where are you teaching?
Sure. So I'm teaching at a HBCU. So that's a historically Black college and university. I'm teaching at Miles College right now. I am teaching it's technically four classes. It's Organic Chemistry 2 and Biochemistry 1 and the two labs. So took on those. Yeah. And so I have seniors and juniors.
A millennial George Washington Carver on our hands.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. So I took on those two classes and labs associated with them, trying to help out as much as possible during this pandemic. So they're online, but definitely doing my part to try to educate the students at Miles College.
That is so dope what you do. You know, the thing that, you know, when I met you on Clubhouse, I was really impressed with your depth and breadth of just knowledge. You are truly well-read and quite resourced. I mean, you're a research scientist, so I can totally tell you're passion is, you know, researching the latest chemical developments. So want to know from you, as you're teaching organic chemistry, I want to go back to coronavirus. Can you, for our listeners, break down the similarities between chlorophyll and humans' blood?
Hemoglobin, right. So chlorophyll, chlorophyll is what we consider to be like a precursor to hemoglobin, right? And so the difference is chlorophyll has what we call an aliphatic chain. So it's a chain at the bottom of it, for lack of a better region, at the bottom of hydrocarbons, 20 carbons long. There's a 20 carbon long chain. And instead of that, on hemoglobin, you actually see a carboxyl or carboxylic acid group. Also, the metal in the center, there is a phenomenon known as chelation, which is a Latin word for claw, which basically means, there are these nitrogen groups in the middle of chlorophyll and also in the middle of hemoglobin. And these nitrogen groups have what we call lone pair electrons on them, and they will form a temporary bond with, you know, something that is partially positive, right? So what happens is that you get this chelation, or this this bond that is formed between the nitrogen lone, the nitrogen's lone pair and the metal. So in the form of, in terms of chlorophyll, you have magnesium, which is a plus two group two metal on the periodic chart. And in terms of hemoglobin, it's iron, right? Which is a transition metal, and iron changes oxidation states, right? So it goes from plus two to plus three, relatively easy. Basically what I mean by change oxidation states, oxidation is loss of electron and reduction is gain of electrons. So it'll lose or gain an electron in a redox reaction relatively easily. Whereas chlorophyll is the precursor. Sure.
Why is it when atom gains an electron, it's called a reduction?
When an atom gains an, well, I'm not sure who actually came up with that, but I think you take me back to general chemistry.
Is it because the protons are positive, and a positive plus a negative plus another negative is a negative, and that's a reduction? Is that why?
Nope. So this is actually talking about the formal charge, and it is in correlation with the actual electrons, which are negatively charged. So we're actually talking about electrons and the overall charge of the atom. So when a person says something like redox or reduction in oxidation, they're actually talking about the electrons, not the protons.
Gotcha.
And so I forgot what I was going to say, go ahead.
You were talking about the similarities between hemoglobin and chlorophyll. And you were talking about the difference between the magnesium and the iron.
Correct. Right. So they're both metals. One is a group two metal and one is a transition metal. So
yeah, iron has the metal. See, right, it's a transition metal. Catching on.
You catching on real well.
I mean, you taking me all the way back to my teenage years when I took 091 at MIT. So I'm like, it's starting to bubble up to my memory a little bit.
Oh yeah. It's still there. You never lose it. It's there. Yeah. But yeah, so it changes oxidation states. And so that allows iron the ability, while bound to those nitrogen groups, it allows iron to also form a bond with oxygen. And so it will grab oxygen and then carry it for oxygen transport in the lungs, which happens in the alveoli. And that's literally how we get cellular respiration, or the oxygen to do cellular respiration.
So cellular respiration pretty much is your hemoglobin grabbing oxygen and carrying it through your blood. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's part of it. That's part of it. Pretty complex. There's a bunch of steps to it, but that's part of it, definitely. So, you know, you need O2 at the cellular level. And so what we're seeing in some of the research done with like COVID is that COVID actually is binding to the hemoglobin. And I think it was reported in the 1-beta region of the hemoglobin, and it was prematurely releasing the oxygen and the iron, creating what they call ROSs, which are reactive oxygenated species. So it's not, I guess it's not surprising that some of the first affected areas is in the alveoli sac in the lower lobe of the lungs, because that's kind of, you know, that's where O2 transfer actually takes place. So it makes perfect sense to me. So I think that would also kind of suggest why people are probably actually dying on respirators as well. Makes sense to me. I mean, whereas, you know, you can put them on a respirator, turn the gas all the way up, but if you don't have anything to carry the O2 into the cell, then how does the cell breathe? Or if you don't have any, you know, O2 transfer taking place, how does that actually happen? So I think, right. So I think that, you know, these kind of like novel studies that are being done, I guess needs to be somehow articulated to the, if they're not, they need to be articulated to the people on the front line, because, you know, these doctors, these medical doctors are, they have a wealth of knowledge.
Right. I think if the doctors fully understood that the blood is, you know, that the oxygen isn't binding, and, you know, I'm sure some of them would have more ideas as to what pharmaceuticals could possibly help. I know from a holistic standpoint, I've been able to use vitamin C, D, zinc, and chlorophyll. And also I used supplement lysine and olive leaf extract, which are known just lower your viral load, period. So I did that along with, you know, boosting, and then also breathing exercises and lots of prayer and rest and liquids and herbal teas. I really like traditional medicinal. So that really was helpful for me in my recovery. And I definitely feel the difference if I skip taking my supplements. One also thing I did was I took all the B vitamins. So I took B1, B2, B6, I took all B12, and that really helped my energy level to stay constant. So I never really felt to the point where I couldn't move.
Right. That's awesome. I mean, you're really vigilant. I haven't seen a study as of yet. I haven't seen a study that would suggest taking vitamins like prophylactically that would help. I mean, I don't know, but I haven't seen the study being done. Right. There's so much research coming out almost every single day. There's an inundation of new papers. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, the MDs that are actually in the hospitals working, saving lives and stuff. It doesn't surprise me that, you know, they don't have a whole lot of time to be sitting there reading papers. But I think that somebody should be reading the papers and briefing the medical doctors. If that's not, it could be happening. I don't know. I don't work in a hospital, so.
Yeah, I mean, it would be dope if hospitals had like a research scientist and, you know, to kind of just distill research down to help the practices of the different doctors, but, you know.
Yeah, I think now we're seeing a lot of good scientific communication. I kind of wish it would have happened, you know, last March instead of, you know, February 2021, you know. I think that, again, with politics, you know, with that past administration, I think that things were kind of tight with what can be said. We were kind of ran a lot like a dictatorship. And I think that that really hindered our ability to respond and react appropriately. I think some of the things that I saw that I wish would have happened was they should have had a standard for testing protocol. That should have been number one. And, you know, hindsight is 2020. And, you know, it's kind of easier for me to say, hey, we should have done this now a year later, right? But I think the first thing that should have been developed was a standardized test that was used nationwide. Everybody uses the same test. And the way we pull samples, the way we do everything is standardized, and we all use it. We know the limitations in this procedure. And, you know, I think that should have been number one. And then from that point, I think we should have, you know, activated the private sector in some kind of way to where they could have went mass production of that test, maybe through some kind of government contract or something like that. And, you know, maybe like a 3M or somebody large enough to have a capacity to really produce a whole lot of tests. And, you know, produce those tests, and everybody in America get tested. We should have all been tested at least 5 or 6 times by now, every single person. And we should have taken those of us who were actually sick, that are in the, you know, in the economy, and then pulled them out and, you know, allowed them the opportunity to recover. I think that would have probably been the best technique to, you know, kind of mitigate while everyone waited on the vaccine or therapy. But again, it's easier for me to say that a year later, right? Then the truth is, you know, we kind of dealing with this thing in the moment and dealing with the whole political scene and the politics side of things.
Right, right, right. You know, hindsight is 2020. But, right. You know, Dr. White, it definitely has been a pleasure having you on the SEO Queen Tech Show. How can people connect with you?
I'm sure. So I'm on an array of social media outlets. So they can find me on Instagram at The Chemist. So DA_CHEMIST. So DA_Chemist. They can find me on Twitter as DACHEM, the number one. So Kim First, ST. So, and they can also check me out on my website. I have a book coming out for children, and it's available now. It's called You're a Chemist 2. And they can find me on youreachemist2.com. So that's youreachemist2.com. So you can find me on all of those outlets.
Well, Dr. White, thank you so much for being on the show. And I really enjoyed talking to you. You're just so brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
The SEO Queen, the SEO Queen, more credibility. The SEO Queen, more visibility. The SEO Queen, more profitability. The SEO Queen, 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 more credibility, more visibility, more profitability.
The SEO Queen. 100%. 100%. 100% black owned and operated. They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway. 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 The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom!